It's Newsmaker Monday on Rob Sussman. The lines are open. 302-839-1059. Call in or text your questions for Rob's Newsmaker. Calls will be limited to 2 minutes for the next half hour. Now, Rob Sussman.
And we are joined today by State Senator Anthony Del Colo, a Republican from Ellesmere. State Senator, it's great to have you on the show today.
It's very good to be with you.
Now, I'll tell you, there have been a couple of people who have texted in as we've been talking about various different gun rights issues in the states, and they say you have to get State Senator Anthony Del Colo on. You have to get him on, and you have to talk to him about these issues. So you are one of the major gun rights advocates in the state of Delaware. I want to describe for me the current state of gun rights in the state of Delaware.
I would say that they are presently strong, and that really has to do with the way that the law in Delaware is written, and that goes essentially directly to what's in our state constitution. Many know, but often don't take time to reflect, that the federal constitution really acts in many respects to create a floor and not a ceiling for the sorts of rights and protections that people enjoy from government action. And in the case of Delaware, Article 1, Section 20 of the Delaware Constitution lays out protections that are more robust than those noted federally, and that was acknowledged in a formal way for the first time in a landmark case called Doe versus Wilmington Housing Authority, which specifically said this is what the language is in the Delaware Constitution. It's broader and in some ways deeper than what's in the federal Constitution, and therefore it provides additional protections beyond what has been interpreted to be the status quo federally. So that, as the linchpin, is pretty significant when considering the state of affairs in Delaware. It definitely impacts my view of the appropriate balance to strike between making sure that we are taking appropriate action to address violent activity, including violent activity with guns, but also acknowledging that we have a solemn responsibility to prevent overstep and overreach and to make sure the rule of law is really considered and followed.
State Senator Anthony Del Colo on with us right now. So what you're basically saying with that is that despite everything that's been going on, despite the fact that the, you know, legislature every year tries to do things like ban assault weapons, so on and so forth, that we are under, in the state of Delaware, a constitutional law that is in some ways stronger than the Second Amendment itself.
Correct. And I think that's reflected by a lot of the discussion that we have. Admittedly, some of the specific details of the most recent set of legislation that was proposed was not debated formally. I understand that they were kept in committee, in the executive committee. But even with that, you know, when you talk in public forums, there was a pretty broadly shared discussion about gun control and Second Amendment rights that I was on a panel in Middletown that was a pretty robust discussion about some concepts. And you couple that with the fact that the laws that we do have on the books that have gone through, I think that there's been a real effort, even by folks who some might call a very pro-gun control in the General Assembly. In my mind, there's been a real effort to have honest discussions about what due process means and to make sure that if we're dealing with, for example, a law that addresses mental health or a law that addresses an order, a preliminary order to deal with someone who's behaving violently, even while we're doing those things, my experience has been a robust and pretty collaborative effort on those things that we can agree upon to make sure that we're handling what is a fundamental civil right correctly.
State Senator Anthony Del Colo, once again, we do take questions and text messages for the state senator. So if you have any questions, any comments for the state senator, feel free, 839-1059. That's 302-839-1059. We have Jack on the line in Clayton. Jack, hello.
Hello, it's actually Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Jeff from Clayton. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You're on with Rob Sussman and State Senator Anthony Del Colo.
Senator Del Colo, thank you for taking the time today. You sponsored a piece of legislation that I believe you passed June 30th. And the piece of legislation, your co-prime in the House, was this incredibly good-looking, incredibly talented young man from Clayton. And it was a bill that says that medical marijuana patients don't lose their Second Amendment rights. Could you please talk to that bill? And because I'm a big fan of that, of yours, and I'm a big fan of your co-prime in Clayton, that very good-looking, very talented young man in Clayton, who I believe is also named Jeff.
What a coincidence. It has to be a coincidence.
It's an absolute coincidence.
Total coincidence.
But full coincidence. Senator Del Colo, if you could please talk to that bill, because I believe that is, in this conversation, I believe that that is a huge win.
Absolutely.
And Senator Del Colo, please also describe, if you will, the vote count, if you will. I think it's a very important part of the
Absolutely.
Story.
Absolutely. Good Absolutely. Stuff, Jeff. Okay, so to that end, Senator Del Colo, what do you think about that?
So I'm happy to give the appropriate bona fides and to laud the efforts of my very formidable co-prime sponsor on that measure, who is a really great chap named Representative Spiegelman, really worked well with me on that bill. I feel like the person on the other end of the line has an intimate understanding of who Representative Spiegelman is. I just get a feeling about that.
Just strong
that
feeling?
Aside,
a strong feeling.
A strong sense. A disturbance in the force, if you will. But setting that aside, I do think that that's a perfect example of where Republicans and Democrats came together in Delaware to do something that was needed and that was important. And it was done in a bipartisan way. I believe that the vote in the House was just about unanimous. Maybe there was one no vote. I can't remember exactly. And I think that there was a similar amount of support in the Senate, overwhelming support. And what the bill does is to clarify that nothing within our law will permit a law enforcement agent or a member with the associated powers of the Delaware government to get in between a person's fundamental right to protect themselves and their family should they happen to be a medical marijuana patient. And I think that's important for two reasons. First of all, because the right to keep and bear arms, which to me is synonymous with the concept of self-defense,
right?
That's the fundamental right that's being protected. And the second thing is that from a perspective of discrimination and fairness to people, if you're qualifying as a medical marijuana patient in Delaware, you are really being confronted with a situation where you probably have protections under the ADA. You're almost certainly sick and trying to get well. And in every other circumstance, to treat someone who is so affected as having fewer rights than somebody who is not so affected is not tolerated, and rightly so. In fact, it's appalling and really just a bad way to do things. And so I have to applaud my co-prime and the folks in the General Assembly for coming together around that. And I think it was a huge win from the perspective of the Second Amendment, a huge win from the perspective of respecting people and eliminating discrimination and supporting common decency, and also just a huge win for Delaware.
State Senator Anthony Del Colo with us on the line, joining us for Newsmaker Monday right now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're actually going to talk on something kind of related to this very same subject. Got in a few questions on the text line regarding this one. We'll talk about that here coming up. State Senator Anthony Del Colo, we're talking gun rights. We're talking about anything you want to talk about, any questions you have for the state senator from Ellesmere. At 839-1059.
Lock the door. It's Rob Sussman on Delaware 105.9.
And portion of today's show brought to you by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers Insurance, they know there's a crucial difference between a kick drum pedal and your car's accelerator pedal. Because at Farmers, they've seen it and covered it. Talk to Farmers. We're on today for Newsmaker Monday with State Senator Anthony Del Colo talking about gun rights, talking about anything you want to ask him about at 302-839-1059. Talk or text. Senator Del Colo, we were just talking about the intersection between marijuana and gun rights, and Victoria wanted to ask you regarding your bill that would allow gun owners who also are medical marijuana patients to keep their firearms. She asks if that would count CCW as well.
It does. And in fact, that's a common circumstance. If you've got someone who has an appropriate, going through the process to get a concealed carry permit, and that person falls ill, has to use medical marijuana as a treatment option, that would mean that as far as Delaware law is concerned, they're not going to be required to take any action with respect to firearms that they may possess. The other piece of this, though, that is also important not to miss, because I think that although we've corrected things in Delaware and we've addressed Delaware's law, of course we don't have the ability to affect the federal government.
Which so made this happen in the first place. That's the reason that this disparity exists.
Yes, and so there is a form, and because of the form that must be filled out to go through the NICS background check when you purchase a firearm federally from a federal firearms licensed dealer, and you go through those processes, it would still be considered a disqualifying component of that survey if you were to say that I'm possessing or using marijuana on that survey. So the question then that would be begged is, how does that interact with our law? And what it means is that it does offer a safe harbor for people who are not going out and purchasing something but are already in possession. And in the very limited circumstances where a transfer may occur without going through an FFL, it would also offer a level of a safe harbor in that limited circumstance. So it doesn't totally solve the problem, but it does, I think, provide a significantly more robust amount of stability for people who are sick and who simply want to protect their families.
Okay, we have on the line right now a homeowner from Bethany. This is an anonymous homeowner from Bethany joining us on the line right now. Anonymous homeowner, hello.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, doing absolutely great. What did you have to contribute today?
Well, you know, Rob, apparently I'm on the news now because I'm the one that held the woman Maureen at gunpoint on Thursday evening with an assault rifle.
Wait, really? You're the one. She broke into your house.
Yes, Rob, long time listener. I love you. Coming home every day from work.
Oh, so, James, that's fantastic stuff. Okay, so now you held this woman. This is phenomenal, Senator Del Colo.
This is a perfect example right here of an assault weapon being used not to fire a round, but to hold a suspect at bay. Because you know it's a very scary situation. My girlfriend's still really, really shaken up about it because this woman has invaded our home twice. And, like, number one, I want to clear some rumors up because people love saying comments on Facebook about, oh, breakups are tough.
Stuff.
We've never met this woman before, and all we know is she's kind of like a local drug addict that apparently, you know, according to everything that I've picked up from Troop 4, that with my personal effects, she's done this to multiple houses in the area. So that's something else that needs to be addressed, too, if there's listeners out there that have had stuff taken. But yeah, it's a scary situation when somebody invades your home. And by the way, she was armed with a knife. So it's one of those things, you know, we held her at gunpoint to keep her there till the police arrived. But, you know.
Right. Okay, so we have this anonymous homeowner, Bethany. And I'm so glad that you gave me a call today. Thank you so much for ringing in. I mean, right there, you have an example, I think, of what you were kind of talking about earlier, Senator Del Colo, and inalienable right to self-defense.
Exactly, and that's what it boils down to. And that's actually, I mean, there's debate about the language in the federal constitution. I tend to agree with the Supreme Court's majority, which is that the federal language does also get at a right to self-defense. But there's very little room for debate when it comes to that point with our state constitution, because it says in so many words that a person has the right to keep and bear arms for defense of self. It also notes that you have the right to do that for defense of family, home, and a variety of other purposes. So it's spelled out. And to me, it's most appropriate to take those words as meaning what they say. And in this case, that would mean that somebody who is being confronted by an individual who is, in this case, armed with a deadly weapon, and if a person is meeting that threat and they clearly would have a reasonable apprehension of imminent death or severe bodily harm, you have all the elements necessary to lawfully defend yourself and your family. Right. I'm glad that in the circumstance that was noted by the caller that it didn't devolve into the need to actually discharge the firearm.
Right.
I'm very happy that it was dealt with in a way that I think was the best for everyone, and I certainly hope that the individual who made the wrong choice of breaking into his home, I hope that she gets the help that she needs, because it sounds like that's a person in crisis. But that's, you know, judging not from what doubt. He said about her being a drug addict and so forth. But anyway, that is exactly an example, and, you know, I'm glad that everyone was safe, and I'm sorry to hear that he went through that.
Oh, we have another question here on the text line from, 373 says, when will Delaware legalize recreational use of marijuana? I guess that another question here would be, Senator Del Colo, do you support the legalization of recreational marijuana in Delaware?
I do, and I think that it has to be done appropriately. On base, after looking at all of the data that I have available and the way that things appear to be going, it just has become readily apparent to me that we have this odd blend where we've got laws that are decriminalizing it and lessening, or in some cases totally eliminating, any sort of criminal exposure. So any deterrent effect that would have been there is gone. Then you couple that with the fact that a lot of people use recreational marijuana, notwithstanding the fact that it had been illegal. And so you have people who are still not necessarily doing things in the appropriate way and ending up with charges in some limited circumstances. And you also have what I think is the real awful aspect of that situation, which is that the status of our current law is completely throwing gasoline on the fire.
Right.
That is the black market.
Right.
You know, it's drastically supporting the black market. And I don't really know many circumstances where a person would go to buy alcohol or tobacco or some other substance like that for recreational use and get offered some other type of illegal drug. But I am told from friends who have used recreational marijuana that they are exposed to that sort of thing if they have to resort to the black market. Then you also add on the fact that we have dispensaries that, based upon every single circumstance I've been told, do not have adequate supply for people who are trying to use cannabis as medicine. And so you're putting those people into a situation where they're unable to get their medicine, they want to be well, and again, to me, that is a circumstance where we are inflaming the black market and all the ills that that brings with it. We give people no opportunity if there's a violation of a contractual understanding with a private sale and they're injured in some way, they have very little possible recourse with a normal lawsuit to try to vindicate their rights. So it's just a very bad hodgepodge. For all those reasons, I think we need to move in the appropriate direction. And I also think that we have to balance the interest of government in taking rational actions for the benefit of society with the unfortunate tendency to allow government to encroach over much into people's homes and lives. That's an important balance to maintain.
Without a doubt. State Senator Del Colo, we have a, caller on line two. This is JD in Milford. JD, hello.
Hey, Rob. So I have a question regarding how Delaware and the legislature would get around the fact that it's still a federally banned substance, and that it appears that the state is moving and exercising control in a way that is really more set up towards the federal government. And I say that as a government contractor, you know, we could legally, for example, if marijuana was, you know, legal in Delaware, I could smoke it without breaking any state law, but it would still be a violation of federal law, and then there would be certain implications to my job by virtue of consuming that.
Right.
And it seems as if, you know, we're not moving to a place of, you know, equality where we're harmonizing those laws. It just seems like we're joining the Me Too and letting, you know, adding to that that disharmony.
I see. Okay. All right. So JD in Milford, thank you so much for your question. Senator Del Colo, what do you think about that?
So I'll start with the last thing he articulated very eloquently, might I add, first, which is that when it comes down to the regulations and responsibilities that a person has due to their profession, notwithstanding the fact that I or somebody else may think the federal law is not correct or behind the times, there is this aspect of self-responsibility and individual autonomy that comes into play. So a person, certainly, if they engage in activity that would violate a regulation or break the law or what have you, regardless of how fair we may think that is, the responsibility to comport yourself appropriately falls to that individual. And, you know, at base, I do think that when somebody has the wherewithal to understand that, they should be encouraged to exercise that appropriate personal autonomy. And to say that we don't want people to be exposed to possibly making that sort of mistake and perhaps keeping something illegal, to me, is kind of setting aside the fact that in a broader way, that person should be able to know what's right and wrong for them and act. And I don't know whether it's any more beneficial to the individual or to society to say that we're going to go after people in the current circumstance and in the way that we have attempted to in the past, that I would describe as a pretty big failure, which is our efforts in the war on drugs and so forth. It's just not gone very well.
Without a doubt.
So, yeah, so that's the first piece. And then the second piece was his earlier stuff that he was asking about. And my position on the federal issue is this. With respect to medical marijuana and recreational marijuana, we now have many, many, many states, I believe more than half at last count, that have developing and ongoing medical marijuana programs. We have some states that have recreational use being acceptable. And so in that circumstance, if you look at the behavior of the federal government and the directives that have been put out by attorney generals, it doesn't seem likely that either party, we've had both a Democratic president and a Republican president, we've had majorities of different political parties in the chambers since this development occurred, and neither party has been anxious to try to take away people's medicine or crack down on the state permissiveness in a recreational context. And I don't think that would be, from a practical standpoint, the right move politically for somebody who would want to win re-election. And I also don't think that it would be approaching things the right way. I mean, I believe that having strong regulations that would discourage people from doing silly things and very wrong things, coupled with proper education and prevention, like we've done with drunk driving, we've had great effect coupling strong laws with the appropriate investment in education and deterrence, and had a really strong impact on drunk driving.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's much better to approach something in that way than to try to have this strange chimera of a beast when it comes to these regulations that are just unnecessarily confusing and don't really seem to benefit anyone.
State Senator Anthony Del Colo, I wish we had more time because I have a feeling we could go on for another hour about this, but unfortunately we are out of time. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It will not be your last time on Newsmaker Monday, that I can tell you.
Happy to make myself available whenever I have availability. And thank you so much for asking me to be on. It was great chatting with you.
Absolutely great stuff. Okay, when we come back, we're going to keep talking about all these things that the state senator was talking about. If you didn't get a chance to ask your question, hang on the line. It's still important to put out there. My name's Rob Sussman, 839-1059. I especially want to talk about what James was talking about earlier. I mean, is that not like a quintessential moment that he just talked about? Like one of the big flashpoints that he was just talking about?